Well, hello, 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 Under the Table Talk. This is your girl, Andrea A.B. Blackley. And yes, I know that it has been some time since we have been together with the last episode that we had where we were giving single mothers some love and some notoriety. But I'm definitely excited to share these next several episodes with you all because so much has happened in between these gaps. So let me go ahead and give a disclaimer, I guess, real quick, just so that, you know, we're growing together with this podcast. So in the event that there are gaps in between episodes, just know that more content is being gathered. I don't know if we'll get to the point to where we'll have an episode every week or, you know, to be a structured schedule. I would definitely love that. So that's naturally the goal. However, I'm just really learning to kind of go with the flow and then allow things to fall into place naturally, and then they will have their own rhythm. So that's going to be just my short disclaimer in regards to the episodes with the Under the Table Talk. I always want to come to you when the fire is hot, okay? When I just can't get whatever it is that I need to talk about off of my mind, and it's like I make the time to get it done. And guess what? This is one of those times. So I want to thank you, first of all, for tuning in to another episode. I appreciate you. I will continue to say that. I send as much love to you as possible. And I really, really pray. You don't have to agree with everything that I say on my podcast. That is perfectly fine. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. However, I am a person that do my best to respect everybody's boundaries, right? And by respecting your boundaries, that means that I'm going to respect my boundaries as well. So nothing will ever be said, you know, with an intent to offend anyone or anything in that regard, to tear anyone down, nothing. We will talk about some truths, however, okay? We will get to the root of some things. There are going to be uncomfortable, you know, situations and conversations because it's just necessary. It's too much stuff that's going on right now, you know, in the world for us to be tiptoeing around this stuff. And I think it's time now to just go ahead and get to the nitty gritty. So that's what's going to happen in this next episode. So I want you to get ready. Okay. Get fired up. Make sure that you're in a space where you can, you know, just vibe and just, you know, just chill with me for a little while. I'm not going to keep you long. You know, I'll say that, but I'm going to do my best because I got some other stuff I got to do too. Okay. But I got to get this time with you because you're taking this time with me and I appreciate it. So I will be right back. See you in a bit. How do you treat people that you don't understand? People are purposely intending harm on each other because they don't understand them. In what ways, you ask? Well, the most recent event, of course, that's on everybody's mind and heart right now, with today being April the 1st, 2019, is the senseless killing of Nipsey Hussle. Not to get into too much detail, because I'm sure you've had a lot of it in there. I'm not an expert in that area. But I want to get to the point of the fact that whomever felt entitled to take the life of a man of so much honor obviously did not understand who he was. And who the he is Nipsey. Whoever felt like, it's just crazy to even think about it. Like, who has the audacity, not just to just kill a person in cold blood, but to actually, as it's being said, you know, for this to be someone that Nipsey knows. A murderer who felt entitled to kill cannot comprehend humanity. That makes sense, right? So he felt entitled to take somebody else's life. He cannot understand the consequences that come with that and how so many other people are being affected and not even thinking about, you know, the aftermath of that, that he's a husband, that he's a father, that he's a leader in the community, right? Is this a better reason now to consciously choose to treat people better? Because we've all made mistakes in, you know, how we've handled people that we didn't get, if you will. But the sad part is that some people don't grow from it. Because whatever the situation was, is, maybe we'll know, maybe we won't know. And in regards to, again, Nipsey Hussle being murdered in a place where he was giving back to the community, where he was educating the community, where he was, you know, giving insight, you know, about to do the documentary for Dr. Sabai, from Dr. Sabai, and, you know, allowing us to educate ourselves so that we can not just survive, but really thrive and live just a very educated life. Who has a problem with that? So is it the fact that somebody didn't understand the advancement of a community? So they wanted to keep everybody, I don't get it, right? It's so many questions that we can actually ask in these regards, but it comes back again to how we handle people. What conversations are we having? What kind of understandings are necessary to mitigate the misunderstandings, right? That's causing people to act out. It's like the people that are misunderstood or the people that are not being heard, they're acting out so that people will, I don't know. This is just my perception. This is just something that it's really, you know, I have some things written down right here, but it's easy to just look off and just start talking about this thing to really want to understand more. So what do we do about the people who could care less about understanding anybody? Now, that's the crazy thing. When I think about this personal development, I'm all excited about it and, you know, wanting to share it with people. I also realize that there are people that are completely disinterested. They can care less about a book or audio. They don't care who's saying what, why they said it, and whatever. And they definitely don't want to hear me talking about it, right? So in that fact, like the struggle in that learning process, it wasn't even, the learning process of understanding. So it was learning more about understanding. So what do I mean? I'm learning these new things and, you know, reading these books. I think I'm jumping ahead of myself, but the people that I was around, you know, probably couldn't understand some of what I was started talking about just because it was different education, if you will, that I now had access to and that I was interested in, right? And willingly wanted to learn more and indulge more into it. And even when sharing, you know, stuff like that with other people, everybody's not going to just jump on top of that and be willing to eat it up like you are, right? But there's nothing that we can do about those people who don't want to have more understanding. They just want to be understood. You got to understand them, right? But the understanding doesn't have to be reciprocated. We can't do anything about them though. See, I believe that I wasted a lot of time attempting to get people to understand me. It's crazy when I look at it now, but I didn't know any better. When I think back, I'm like, oh my gosh, all those years of agony. Oh my God, just self-inflicted pain of attempting to get people who were not interested in understanding some of them, right? And then, you know, everybody's not meant to be understood. I don't understand the mind of a murderer, right? I don't understand that, okay? I don't want to understand it. I'm not going to investigate it. That's not my cup of tea, right? But the same way, people may not be interested in understanding somebody who wants personal growth, who wants to work on themselves, who's transparent about their flaws. You know, not perfect by any means, still got some stuff to work on, still got some stuff that, you know, just like everybody else, there's plenty of room to grow. Right. But knowing that I cannot focus my time on anybody else, it was when I started to focus on myself that it became easier to talk about my flaws. It became easier easier for me to even introduce people to certain things in regards to, you know, self-development and personal growth, because I understood more about myself, that I was a growth in process. You know, a masterpiece in progress, if you will. And you know, when we talk about diamonds in the rough and, you know, all this other kind of stuff, you got to go through the pressure. Yeah, but, you know, you got to live it. It's not just something that you post about, you know, and you speak theoretically about. It's about personal experiences, you know. And so when you choose to work on yourself, it has to be a conscious effort. And it's a strong conscious effort. And gaining more understanding about ourselves will help us to understand other people as well. I can only imagine I was thinking about this earlier. I can only imagine how my mouth was when it came to talking about people that I did not understand or know their story before I started with personal self-development. I simply didn't know any better. I'm not about to go and recount, you know, situations because I have no idea. I'm not going to sit here and I don't consider myself to be a mean girl, but you know, everybody has their own perceptions and whatever. So who knows how I was perceived prior to, right? Prior to an awareness of even a possibility of working on areas that, you know, could sharpen your personality or what, not your personality, just, you know, how you move and the type of character, that you want to build. And you know, when we would make fun, like just think about when you're young, you know, and making fun of kids for different reasons. And I mean, you know, just being mean for no reason, you know, and not knowing any better. And of course, now it's like, man, if I could see any of those people, if I ever did anything to you like that, like, I'm so sorry, you know. But guess what? Those lessons that I learned to start teaching my son about understanding his classmates, understanding his teachers, understanding situations. I was like, I don't care how much I get on your nerves. I am going to beat understanding down your throat because it makes you more compassionate. You know, it gives you more empathy. It can really, I believe, avoid a bunch of conflict. When you can get to an understanding, it doesn't mean that you have to agree, right? But when you can get to an understanding, and that's why I'm such an advocate for personal growth. It doesn't mean that anything is wrong with us. And I'm gonna talk about that too. But at the same time, you know, there are people out here hurting because they're not understood. There are people out here hurting because they can't be understood. They don't know how to get understood. We don't understand. I mean, it's all these things, they tie together. So it was when these books, right? These books started to call me out. So now I'm talking to you now, but I'm also looking at my notes. And at this particular time when I wrote that down and I said it was these books that started to call me out, I had an aha revelation, like literally right then, that I had to write it down. So in thinking about, now I can kind of generalize this, but in thinking about areas that I need to work on, like growing up, you know, only child and, you know, very ambitious, smart girl, you know, but so I got an attitude and I was emotional and I'd cry. And you know how you just get all types of labels and descriptions and whatever of you, right? So I always believed that I had a high self-confidence, you know, and high self-image. And I did. I believed that if there was something that I wanted to do, I went out and did it. I did not ask for permission. I didn't ask for nobody to be the best. I wasn't in competition with anybody else. I just liked being great at stuff or good at stuff, but not in a way to flash it in other people's faces or be braggadocious, never like that. But with these areas that I knew that I needed to work on, this was the revelation that I wrote down. I said, was this God's way of having me to work on very rough areas of myself, getting down to truths that hurt and were uncomfortable? Was it through these books? Because I mean, I'm telling you, it's a ton of books that I read, a ton of books that I've listened to, more that I've listened to probably than I've actually read, but I have a ton of, anyway, it doesn't matter. From the money that I've spent on going to personal development, you know, events with Danny Johnson and Tony Robbins. I mean, it's just, it's a massive amount of hours and money and hours and money and hours and money of personal self-help. It's like, yeah, therapists in books, right? And it helped me to address. I would hear something, I'd be like, oh my God. And it was a conviction. It's a conviction when you're convicted of something, like, oh my God, I do that. Or, oh my God. Like, I remember the book, Outwitting the Devil. And I remember I was in Houston. Obviously, I was driving. I was on sophomore and 288, right by that Denny's. And it was a part in the book where it was the conversation with the devil. And he was talking about teachers, right? And how teachers would limit kids' thinking by, you know, telling them to be quiet and, you know, the stifling the creativity and all these kinds of things, these tactics that the devil per se was sharing in regards to how he works in the classroom through the teachers. And I was so convicted, y'all. I'm driving, I'm like, oh my God, I messed up them kids. Now at this time I was not teaching anymore. I had already quit, But I felt so, not like I did anything wrong to them, but I wish that I had been even more free, right, with my students. And that, I mean, we were structured, and of course, that's what we were taught. You sit down, you shut up, you do the work. Then once you do the work, then we can play. You know, and they, my kids know I loved to play, but we knew we had to get that work, and I was crazy. But at the same time, like, I was crazy for real. But I loved them. I was crazy, and as a loving teacher, you know, my students were very, very high performers. It didn't matter what school I was at, because I just had those high expectations. And it's like, why not? Why not raise up excellence, right? But anyway, I don't know how I got off topic with that. But when looking at how I would teach those kids, you know, and implement, you know, that learning with them there, and when outwitting the devil brought that point to me, and it was something that I chose to work on with my son, right? So Nicholas was so much younger. I think it was obviously probably like 3 or 4 years old. What it did, I wasn't in the classroom anymore. I started to take Nicholas's learning differently. I didn't want him to be, you know, so in a box. I wanted him to have a type of freedom so that he would be in control of his thinking. Because what the enemy does, what the devil does, the devil wants you to have an idle mind. Okay, that's the devil's playground. The devil wants you to be wandering all over the place, to drift. That's what it talks about in Outwitting the Devil. When you're drifting and you're just inundated, and you're in this wave of negative thoughts, right? You're in this wave of doubt. You're in this wave of worry. You're in this wave of gossip and all this other kind of stuff. That's what the enemy wants your mind to be like. So you have to, okay, you have to initiate stimulation so that you do not give the devil the opportunity to run rampant up in your head and have you thinking crazy stuff that is not even being spoken on your life. That's the power of these books. That's the power of understanding people. That's how we grow. We got to share this. We got to share this. We got to let people know. No, it's not corny. It's not, I don't know if anybody calls it anything, right? But I don't understand people, watch this, I don't understand people who choose not to work on themselves. That does not mean I have a judgment of them. I don't have a right to judge them. I'm not entitled to judge. Well, actually, and I need to read more about that, because we do have a little bit more in that. But anyway, that's another scripture for another day. But When that revelation came and seeing how, you know, these areas that I needed to work on were not only identified but addressed through books, it was done in a loving way to where I could receive it, I could be convicted by it, right? And not feel beaten down or beaten up. Because sometimes the people that love us, right, or that's the closest to us, and when they want to give us lessons or have their input or whatever, sometimes they can be unconsciously and sometimes consciously brutal when they're offering help. Okay. And you know, and everybody's situations is different, right? And so you think about it, like, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't want to listen to your relatives. Some families do have that type of bond where they do listen to each other. So again, the dynamic varies, but just speaking from personal experience, you know, it's one thing to say, oh my God, you have a bad attitude, right? As opposed to coming across and saying, okay, so what do you think that we can do about the tone of your voice? You think we can work on that? You know, you think that we can work on how you think or your facial expressions? Let's see what's up with that, because I got a better way for you to respond. You know, which one will be more receptive? You know, and when I think about that, when I look at that, it made me want to be better. It made me want to say, oh my gosh, I don't need to be fixed. It was just some things that needed to be modified. Right. And so I don't believe in constructive criticism. It doesn't even make sense to me. Now, that's my own thinking. But how can you criticize somebody and then it be constructive? Right. Now, you can break it down. And that's just my own thinking. But I'd rather just give some tough love. Just tell it is, you know, tell it like it is. What needs to be addressed? Let's not sugarcoat and sugarfoot this. You know, let's get to the root of it so that we can, you know, keep it moving. So it's like God got me to listen through other people who had an intent to help and not to hinder. So So when we understand each other and when we understand, you know, what personal development is, or when we understand what growth is, or when we understand, you know, more about empathy and more about emotions. You know, I heard Nipsey say that as he was building, you know, his empire and everything that he was doing, he said he's experienced every single emotion. He said he experienced every single emotion, right, that you could think of as he's building his businesses. And when I think about how negative, how nasty people can be towards emotional people because they don't understand them. No, that's not cool. I can speak from that on personal experience, right? Now, definitely in a way to where it's like, I don't have to sit here and attempt to make anybody feel bad. That's not the point. It's the point of taking responsibility to how you can influence how someone feels about themselves. You can't make anybody feel anything because that's their choice, right? But you definitely do have an influence on that. And that's one of the things that it seems like people don't take into consideration, right? And when we do that from a self-reflective perspective, right? Number one, your guards are down. You're vulnerable. You're not tripping on your image. You know what I'm saying? You're in an humble space to where it's like, I'm flawed. I'm not right about everything. I'm not wrong about everything either. You know, but at the same time, I'm working on myself. So I'm not ashamed, you know, to say what it is that I'm still working on, or what God hasn't, you know, fixed in me yet, or whatever the situation is. And so, we got to think about that and understanding who it's coming from. How is it coming? And that has to be a choice. That's when I think about it, I'm looking at what I wrote down. Wow. In big letters. And it said, that's why it's hard for me to listen to some people. You know, you can't take everything from everybody. Right. You can't do that. But again, you're only going to be able to discern that once you understand yourself more. So once I started to understand what I needed to hear, what I needed to be listening to, I no longer needed to be listening to, you know, how broke I was as a teacher, or lack, or, you know, anything like that, because that wasn't the understanding that I wanted to live. I wanted to understand how to have more. Right. And so I believe that once the universe started to conspire with my thoughts and my energies and my frequencies, right? And obviously this was God's will. So that's at the top. Okay. And so going into what God's will is, and then things start to align themselves to where, oh my gosh, I am now into a completely different classroom of education, of understanding people, of understanding empathy, of learning more about myself, of finding out, oh, I'm not messed up. Oh, so all this time where I thought I was just screwed up for having emotions, you're telling me how powerful they are. You're telling me what they can help me create. You're telling me, really interesting. Because if I would have continued to listen to the people that I was listening to, whether or not they meant any harm, who knows, that doesn't even matter. But the fact is, if I would have continued to listen to that and I would have believed that, I was nowhere near headed towards my greatness. Wow. Thank you. Appreciate that, God, for that detour. Right? So when I learned about the behaviors, right, that I needed to work on for personal growth, I mean, again, I thought that there was so much wrong with me. And even as I started to do personal development, I mean, the jabs that people sometimes throw at you, you know, I do know of some people that attempt to learn stuff so that they can be the be all end all or whatever, and act like they're just, you know, the holy grail of wisdom. But that's not how I flow. So I'm a sharer. I only teach what I believe I have really learned and, you know, I'm excited about. But I believe it's more sharing. Sometimes it'll come out to be teaching, but it's just sharing, like, yo, I'm learning this right now. And I believe that this is valuable to life, period. So I'm going to share this with you, and what you choose to do with it is completely up to you. But I'm just a messenger, you know, because this has me over here loving myself again. Hello. This has me over here like, oh, I understand injury. I know who I need to listen to. I know who I don't need to listen to. I know what I need to see when I don't need to see. I know how to say no now, right? I understand when to say no. I understand when people tell me no. How do you treat people if you don't understand them? If somebody tells you no and you don't understand why, how do you treat them, right? How do you, ew, this can go into so many different segments, so maybe that's what will happen. But yeah, I quickly learned that I didn't need to be fixed and that I just needed to be modified with my ways of thinking, which would affect my behaviors and then affect my livelihood, obviously. So it's an understanding that first has to happen from within, right? How you treat other people 9 times out of 10 is going to be how you treat yourself, right? And that's another level that we will have to get into. But I believe that this is a great introduction into that, because it can, I hope what this does, it gets you thinking. I want these podcasts to just, to get you to think in a different way, to consider, there we go, to consider different perspectives, to consider some thoughts. Because it's funny, as I talk to people and I have conversations, I have so many conversations that are so amazing with people that I wish I could record all the time, because I'm like, these are like under the table talk conversations. But no worries, we're going to get to it. But it's just so refreshing to engage in conversations with people with deeper thinking and a higher level of living, because they truly want to be of value. Of course, knowing how much we value ourselves, we got to do that. Also being valued by other people, because you can't kill somebody if you value their life. You know, and that's just it. It's so many lessons that we can learn from what has just happened, and not just from Nipsey's death, but from so much other stuff. As you know, you ask the question, why does it always take such a brutal, conscious interrupt, you know, to shake people up to think differently real quick? You know, why is it that somebody has to die, you know, in order for their words to then be thick, to be true, to be really respected? You know what I'm saying? And it shouldn't be that way. Now, again, that's just my opinion. What am I going to do to change that? Well, I don't know. I'll talk about it. You know, I will do my part in celebrating more people as they are alive, not just because, you know, they're famous or they're well known or they have a platform, you know, just anybody that's out here, you know, attempting to make a difference, because it's understanding, watch this, it's understanding that intent, you know, it's understanding that passion. I've been reading, of course, I Declare, for the last couple of months, The 31 Promises to Speak Over Your Life. This is a book that Joel Osteen wrote back in 2012. And I was such a huge advocate of this book because it just, it's done so much for me. And I bought a bunch of them, had given them out, and pulled it out again, you know, at the beginning of this year. 7 years in October, it will be 7 years that I gifted this particular book right here to myself. But I'm going to close this episode out by reading this declaration that is actually on the 23rd day of the month. And yeah, you'll get it. So day 23, I declare I am a people builder. I will look for opportunities to encourage others to bring out the best in them and to help them accomplish their dreams. I will speak words of faith and victory, affirming them, approving them, letting them know they are valued. I will call out their seeds of greatness, helping them to rise higher and become all that God created them to be. This is my declaration. I also wrote myself, value everybody, appreciate everybody, bless everybody. Everybody deserves it and everybody needs it. So with that, we're going to pause, if you will, for the calls. With this episode, because this conversation is definitely going to continue. But I believe that these 26, 27 minutes that we've spent together, just with some thought-provoking conversations and some recent activities that's happening, and what better day than to actually have this be published than April the 1st, right? It's just a great space to be in, to be able to talk freely and to start doing my part, doing more of my part to bring awareness to levels of consciousness and to bring more understanding towards personal development, personal growth, empathy, therapy, whatever you want to call it. Just having the mental capacity to face yourself, you know, and your flaws and be like, you still whole, you're still God's kid, so you're good. But we can always get better. There's always room for improvement. We don't need to compete against each other because God has enough. God's not gonna run out. So there's no need to be anxious and to be worried and all this. It's enough for you. It's enough for you to be absolutely as great as you're supposed to be, as long as you believe that. So I thank you for tuning in, and I will hear from you, I guess, very soon. Do me a favor. I believe there's some kind of way that you can...